Hello there, this is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us on Radio South Tyneside, your caring community radio. There are those who claim that there are certain foods today which do miraculous things. You may have heard of the benefits of the acai berry, of garlic and walnuts. It's said that such foods offer remarkable health benefits, such as slowing down ageing, preventing dementia, and tackling cancer, and they're known as superfoods or miracle foods. Well, the theme of our programme today centres around a miracle food called manna, which God provided for the Israelites during their 40-year journey in the desert, following their escape from Egypt, prior to their entry into the Promised Land. The manna itself was a fine, flaky, edible substance, which appeared each morning like dew, and when the dew lifted, it resembled frost. It tasted, I'm told, like wafers made of honey, and to the Israelites, it was bread from heaven. It was miraculous not only in its timing, when many of the Israelites were starving on their long journey, but also miraculous in the amount that was produced for so many of them over such a long period of time. You can read all about this manna in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. So let's listen to the hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer, for in it we find the lines, Bread of Heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here it is, sung by the Welsh Fron Male Voice Choir.
Guide me, O Thou Great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty, hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious knees aside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Strong deliverer, strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield.
A number of attempts have been made to identify what manna was exactly, and it still is uncertain, but it's thought that it may have been produced by insects that punctured the fruit of the tamarisk tree. Scripture makes it clear, though, that this food appeared by the direct action of God, and it brought life and hope to the Israelites in a desperate situation. The people gathered it daily, and it spoiled if anyone tried to hoard it beyond that day. But they were allowed to gather double the day before the Sabbath in order to keep their holy day special. And on that day, it did not spoil. A verse in our next hymn has this to say. Life imparting, heavenly manna, stricken rock with streaming side, heaven and earth with loud hosanna, worship thee the Lamb who died. It's of course, Lord enthroned in heavenly splendour, sung here by the congregation of St. Peter's Church in Swinton.
Lord,
The author of that hymn was obviously familiar with our gospel reading today, in which Jesus claims to be the bread of life. I'm reading from John 6, 24 to 35. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Here is a song called "I Am the Bread of Life," sung by Richard Prue and the Cathedral Singers.
Thank you.
days before, Jesus had fed 5,000 people with bread and fishes, demonstrating that he was able to provide food for his people and sustain them. But now the people were asking him for a sign from God, like the manna that was provided in the wilderness, in order that they could truly believe in him. But what better sign did they need than Jesus feeding the multitudes? But Jesus goes further in suggesting that the sign of living bread was right before their eyes. He told them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Here's a song written by a friend of mine, Margaret Scott, and sung here by United Folk, called "I Am the Bread to Feed the World." People find it fascinating to look for uncanny parallels in history. Take John F. Kennedy and Abraham Lincoln as an example. The similarities are quite astounding. Just to quote few examples. Kennedy was shot in at Lincoln, made by Ford. Lincoln was shot in a theatre named Ford. Kennedy was shot from a warehouse and the assassin ran to a theatre. Lincoln was shot in a theatre and the assassin ran into a warehouse. John Wilkes Booth, Lincoln's assistant, was born in 1839. Lee Harvey Oswald, thought to be Kennedy's assassin, was born in 1939. Both were succeeded by Southerners called Johnson, and so on. So I thought I would draw some comparisons of my own this morning between the manna in the wilderness and Jesus as the bread of life. For example, the first one. When the Israelites first saw this substance in the desert, they asked each other, "What is it?" When the crowd confronted Jesus in today's reading to ask him for a sign, the question on their minds was, "Who is he?" The second one, the second comparison, Moses led the Israelites from slavery and death in Egypt to life in the Promised Land. Jesus came to save the world from the slavery of sin and from death, to bring them life in abundance. The third comparison, manna was given at the precise time it was needed. Jesus was born at a precise moment in time, foretold by astronomers and by prophets. The fourth one, the exact amount of manna was provided, a daily supply for everyone. Jesus spoke of God's supply of daily bread, which keeps us energized and focused. The fifth one, the people in the desert moaned and complained to Moses, longing for their former lives and the routine they followed in Egypt, even though they'd been captives there. Jesus also had to put up with the elders grumbling and complaining because he was upsetting their old ways and their established routines and laws. And the last one, though I think there may be more, was that the task of gathering manna ceased once the people celebrated what is called the Feast of the Passover on entering the Promised Land. Manna was a once-and-for-all gift. And Jesus was crucified at the time of the Feast of the Passover. It was then that his earthly task was completed, and he was known as the perfect sacrifice once for all. Enough of me. Let's listen to Jack Hayford with Broken for Me, Broken for You.
Broken for me, broken for you. The body of Jesus, broken for you. He offered his body, he poured out his soul. Jesus was broken that we might be whole. Broken for me, broken for you. The body of Jesus, broken for you. Come to my table and with me dine. Eat of my bread and drink of my wine. Broken for me, broken for you. Jesus, broken for you. This is my body, given for you. Eat it, remembering I died for you.
Jewish people had for a long while lived in hope, waiting for the coming of the Anointed One, or Messiah, a king who would bring in a new kingdom as promised in their holy writings. Then all of a sudden, Jesus from Nazareth burst onto the scene, performing miracles and healing people. And suddenly an all-important question arose in everyone's mind. Could this be the one we've been hoping for? Some were naturally cautious about committing themselves to Jesus' cause, and who could blame them? Perhaps they asked themselves, what if he's not the one, and all of our dreams come to nothing? What if the Romans move in to crush us for rising up and following him? People ask themselves these questions today when they consider offering their lives to Jesus. Where will this take me? Will it be dangerous? Are we making the right move? But for many people all around the world at this time, to become a Christian is to surrender everything. In the West, sadly, we're more concerned with practical questions such as, what if living life his way will affect my enjoyment of life? What pleasures will I have to give up? And what's in it for me? But all those who'd been healed by Jesus then and witnessed the miracles he performed had found in him someone beyond their wildest dreams. He was the fulfillment of all their hopes and dreams. Here is Behold the Lamb of God.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we shall. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. The body of our Savior Jesus Christ, torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of love around the table of the King.
That was Behold the Lamb of God, sung there by Stuart Townend. Jesus said to those who doubted, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Jesus was claiming here to be the genuine article. And so they asked him, a question which we may well be considering ourselves today. They asked, what must we do to please God then? What does he want of us? And Jesus shocked them with this simple reply. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. May you too come to know the one who can guide you, provide for you, and bring you life in abundance and life everlasting. May God bless you this day and all those you know and love. We finish with a beautiful blessing. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, sung here by the Northumbria community. Have a good week and bye for now.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our door.